Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Thomas, and we're just gonna have a little chat about Christmas and think about some of the things that we come together over at Christmas. I just want you to think for a minute, what's the best Christmas you can remember? Think back to maybe a Christmas long, long ago, or maybe one recently. Probably not last year, I guess, unless you're a person who likes your own company. Or maybe what's the best Christmas you can possibly imagine? Have a think about that. Maybe you're already doing that for this year. Maybe you're thinking, how good is Christmas going to be this year as we plan and prepare? You know, for most of us, apart from the Scrooges amongst us, I reckon the ideal Christmas is to gather together with friends and family in peace and joy around something we all love. And so we're going to be talking about that now, that image of getting together. You see it, don't you, on all the adverts and everything. You think about the Christmas tree. What about these happy people here gathered around? Isn't that Christmas for all of us? It's just what we look forward to, isn't it? We imagine this time together, gathered around a tree. You've got wonderful presents. Everyone's got you exactly the right thing. No terrible jumpers. Or what about the table? What about getting around the table for food? I mean, who likes Christmas food? Who likes Christmas lunch? Who likes preparing Christmas lunch? Maybe not so much. I actually quite enjoy it, you know? You get that wonderful moment, you sit there and you carve that perfectly cooked turkey. And, I let it slip. Maybe you like beef, maybe you like turkey. But we think about this meal, don't we? This fantastic feast that's going to be before us. And we all gather around the table and the kids are just impeccably behaved. And they're all saying, thank you, Mummy and Daddy, for this wonderful food you've prepared for us. And all that joy. What about the TV? Maybe you're thinking about Christmas movies this year. Kids, who's seen the new Christmas movie about a boy called Christmas? I know lots of you have seen that. You know, it's this wonderful story about the story of St. Nicholas and how he became Santa Claus. And we get excited about this nostalgia and these traditions. You see, I don't know about you, but the idea and the thoughts of gathering in this way seem to vastly outdo the reality. And I think actually for most of us, when we get to Christmas Day, the reality of what we find and experience is not quite what we imagined. Are you with me on this? You know, you eat too much, you get that food, and you're sitting there trying to plow through that bread pudding, or that, bread sauce, not bread pudding, don't have that there. But or maybe too much turkey, and afterwards you think, why did I eat that third bowlful? You get that afterwards, don't you? Or maybe the Christmas film that you love, and you remember from your childhood, and you think, oh, it's an amazing film, it's on again, let's watch it. And you think, actually, this film's really quite terrible. You know, we do something with nostalgia, don't we, where the idea of something is not quite what we feel it should be. Well, what about if Christmas was more than coming together around a tree, a table, or a television? What if the original Christmas plan was to come together around something better than that? The verse that you heard Catherine read a minute ago said this. It said, but the angel said to them, so telling the shepherds to come and see Jesus, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. What if the original Christmas plan was to come together around something good? The angels in the story who say, do not be afraid, I bring you good news, they're talking about baby Jesus in a manger. But the question is, why is a baby in a manger such good news? What is the point of this? We've all heard this story, I'm sure, that Christmas is centered around this baby in a manger. And we know probably somewhere that it's good news. But have you ever wondered why that's good news 2,000 years later? See, to understand this, we need to first know the reality of our situation and the problem that we're actually in. You see, before someone brings you good news, there needs to be a situation that good news comes into. And the situation is actually that things are not as good as they should be, as we've just said. The expectations and the thoughts and the dreams we have of how things should be don't meet up with reality. So what is the problem? Well, the Bible talks about the bad news as the problem of sin. Now, whether you agree with a biblical understanding of sin, I hope we can all acknowledge that the world is broken. I mean, none more so, no more obviously than it is at the moment, that things are not right. And the joy and the peace that we all desire seems very hard to find. And even when we see moments of it, it seems to sort of slip through our hands. for this joy and this peace and this love and all these things that we long for and look out for and expect at Christmas, we often find come with great disappointment. See, deep down we know that we're not meant for regret. How did I end up in this place? How did this happen to me? Disappointment in others, in ourselves, in our life situation. What about fear mentioned to the shepherds? You know, do not fear, but we all have a fear of, maybe a fear of failure, fear of the future, a fear of the unknown, or even a fear of death. Maybe we could use a Christmas analogy that the problem that we have in some ways is that we're all a little bit like a Christmas tree. It's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? Bear with me on this one. You see, if you think about a Christmas tree, actually, what do? We take this tree and we dress it up and we decorate it and we start to make it look better than it really is. Maybe we look like we don't fear. Maybe we dress ourselves up in that way. Maybe we look like we don't worry. Yeah, I'm fine, I'm great, everything's wonderful. We dress ourselves up. Maybe we feel that we need to have hope that things are just going to get better someday. It'll all be all right in the end, won't it? You see, like a Christmas tree, there's a problem is that the tree itself no longer has any life in it. You see, now, although that is the problem, the reality is that the sin problem that we have is that we've been cut off from the source of life. That is, in a relationship with God. We've been separated from God. The Bible describes that that is the effect and the consequence of sin. And so the source of our life and our joy and our peace, we've been separated from. So much like the Christmas tree, you can decorate it really well, but eventually everything starts to fall apart. But that's the problem. But the good news is there is a solution. And this is the good news of Christmas. This is what the angels are telling the shepherds. The good news is here. God has a solution to the problem of sin. That is the exciting message of Christmas. You see, we're not meant to be a Christmas tree, but much more like a redwood in a forest. You know, these enormous great trees that grow up side by side, flourishing, full of life, but very firmly rooted into something else. That's how God designed us. We were meant for community with God, with others, and for glory and for joy. See, Jesus being born at Christmas doesn't happen so that he could point at our failings or regrets. In fact, he came down to restore that life that we couldn't fix, that life that we've been separated from. That's the good news of Jesus this Christmas. The God of Christmas came to show you and me that he loves us, that he died a God-forsaken death so that we could know him for ourselves. The good news is that God himself comes to earth and rescues. But what if that original plan, Christmas plan, was not just good news for some of us, but good news for all of us? You see, the message is that it's something good for everyone as well. One of my favorite memories from this year just gone by is the Euros, at least until we got to the final, for those of you that are English in the room. But there was this wonderful moment when we beat Germany. Do you remember that? It was this wonderful moment. We all expected we were going to get absolutely thrashed. But do you know what? Raheem Sterling scored in the 75th minute, and then Harry Kane scored in the 86th minute. And the whole nation erupts with, "We won, we won." We had won, of course. But I didn't win. You didn't win. We weren't there. I wasn't playing. And yet, this victory had been won on our behalf. It was like we felt like it was something we had achieved. You see, in the same way, the good news of Jesus is that he also won a victory, although his victory was on a cross. His victory was a victory over sin, the sin that had separated us from God. It was a victory over fear and a victory over death on our behalf. Like the England team won on our behalf, Jesus won in a far more incredible way on our behalf. The Bible tells us that it's the sin in our lives that separate us from one another, and we can all relate to this, but it also tells us that sin separates us from God, and that's the real reason we can't find true joy and peace this time of year or any time of year. But the good news is that Jesus came to pay the price for our sin. This baby in a manger, God incarnate, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. God left heaven to come down and be a baby, to become vulnerable, to become human like us, to understand everything about us, to come and live the life that we couldn't live, but then ultimately to die a death on the cross in our place, a death that we should have died. You see, we see God in human form in Jesus. We see God's perfection in ways that you can relate to. See, if you looked at Jesus, you would see his compassion on the needy and the broken, which is every one of us. In Jesus, you would see God himself, and yet able to relate with every human problem that we face. If you were looking into this Christmas story in more depth, if you read on in the Bible beyond Christmas, you would see why Jesus came and why he should be at the center of Christmas and at the center of all of our lives for every single one of us, because he is the good news that we have been looking for. So my invitation for us today is to do this, is to explore further, is to say, what if this good news of Jesus, this baby at Christmas, isn't just for Christmas? What if this good news of Jesus is so much more than that, is for every one of us? The invitation of Jesus is for all of us to come, to receive forgiveness, to find a relationship with God through him. On the screen behind me, there is a QR code. And what this does is, we've got little cards around the room that look like this. You can pick these up. It might be that you're thinking, well, I don't really know much more about the Christmas story. I don't really know much more about Jesus than what we hear in the Nativity plays. What we'd like to encourage you to do is to look into this further. Maybe you're wondering, well, what about me? Does Jesus invite me into this as well? Could I have my sin forgiven? Could I have a relationship with God? And what this QR code does is it links you to this wonderful website that somebody set up, and it tells you all about the story of Jesus from the Gospel of John, which is in the New Testament in the Bible. See, if you zap that, you can look into it further, and we'd love you to find out more. You can read it for yourself and find out about the God of Christmas in this passage. See, if you're interested, maybe there's something else you could do. We invite you to come along to Grace Church, to come along and find out more. What we're going to do on the 16th of January, much like Kylie shared her story today, there are many people in Grace Church that have experienced this God of Christmas for themselves, this saving grace of Jesus, how God has come into our lives and changed us. And we're going to be sharing stories about that. And we just want to invite you to come along and hear that, and hear about Jesus and what he has done in the lives of the people in this church. And so I'd encourage you to come and find out more about the God of Christmas this year. We look forward to all these nice things. We look forward to the peace, the joy, and the love that we hope we'll get this Christmas. But do you know what? The promise of the Bible is that God guarantees this through his Son. See, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." That is the invitation that Jesus brings this year at Christmas. That is the good news of Jesus. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this good news of this baby in a manger. Lord, what an incredible way to come into this world and become like us, Lord, to experience everything that we have experienced, yet the Bible tells us without sin. Jesus, your grace has transformed my life and so many lives of the people in this church, and we know that your grace will change the world. God, I pray for people this afternoon that are here listening in, that you will show them that same grace, that you'll reveal that same mercy and the truth of Jesus Christ. Lord, will you come and stir people to come and find out more about you and to receive the love, the joy, and the peace that you bring this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful.